Today's shiur is Daf Dalad in Masechet Pesachim. We're going to begin at the beginning of the Amud. Our Gemara continues discussing the issue that we mentioned at the end of yesterday's shiur about how one should be careful in his speech. Says the Gemara, Rav bar Ach v'der Rav Chia, Rav was the son of the brother of Chia, or bar Achse, and he was also the son of Rav Chia's sister. In other words, Rav Chia's father had a son whose name was Ivoy from a different marriage, and his mother had a daughter whose name was Ima from a different marriage. Ivoy married Ima, it was his stepsister, they weren't related at all. Rav was their child. So Rav was the son of Rav Chia's half-brother Ivoy, and also the son of Rav Chia's half-sister, Imai. Kisolak lahesam. So when Rav came to Tzrol, Omalei, so Rav Chia asked Rav, Ivoy kayim, is Ivoy alive? Omalei, so Rav responded, Imai kayimis, is Imai alive? So the way most of the first explained is, he was saying, instead of asking me about Ivoy, your brother, why don't you ask me about Imai, your sister? So he said, okay, Amalei, Ima Kayemis, is my sister Ima alive? Amalei, Iva Kayem, why don't you ask me if your brother Iva is alive? So this was the way Rav was letting Rav Chia know that both his brother Ivoy and his sister Imoy were Nifter, but he didn't want to say it explicitly. As we learned in the Gemara yesterday, might say Diba Huksil. Someone who says something foolish explicitly is a fool. So now that Ivoy realized, now that Rav Chia realized that he had lost his brother and sister, but it was past the Shloshim, it was after 30 days since they had passed away, that the halacha is that at that point it's a Shmua Rechaika, it's not a news about the Ptira, and the halacha is that not regular avelis of a shiva is held. Amalei l'shamei, and that's why Ivoy told his shamis, chloitz li menali, take off my shoes, v'hoylach kelei acharei l'beis amirchitz, and take immediately my clothing after me to the Beis house. Shmamina tlas. So we learn from this three things. Shmamina oval osam anilas sandal. We see from here that an oval, Rav Chia was an oval, is not allowed to wear shoes. Shmamina shmur rechayke einan ahegis eliyam echad. But if it's a shmur rechayke, if he only finds out after 30 days from the Ptira, you only have to hold a velus for one day. Shmamina mixes yom kikula, and even that one day, part of the day is enough. So the Chasam Sofer explains that yesterday at the end of the shir, the first we learned about Rav Kahana being sick and then reporting his Ptira. Then we learned about the status of the crops, the Chitim, how to announce that. And then we speak now again about somebody being Nifter. Ask the Chasam Sofer, shouldn't we first have mentioned our Gemara about somebody passing away and then gone on to the Chitim? So the Chasam Sofer says, in both examples that we learned at the end of the shiur yesterday, there were a situation of shmur kroiva, of things that had just been heard. Our Gemara, on the other hand, speaks about a shmur rechaika. So first we dealt with the shmur kroiva, and then we spoke about the shmur rechaika. And taka, the halacha is that by a shmur rechaika, the person who's in avelis just has to hold avelis for a short amount of time. And immediately afterwards, we say mixes a yom kikulay, and he could get up. However, the Paiskim point out, it's interesting. Our Gemara notes that how did Rav Chia accomplish the avelis? By taking off his shoes. So they say the fact that the Gemara doesn't say that he didn't take a haircut, in a short time, it's not noticeable if a person took a haircut or not. But what about Kriya? So they say from here we see that Kriya is not required by Shmur Rechaika. And there's a Machloikas Rishonim when the halacha is that Kriya is not required by Shmur Rechaika. Is that always the situation, or is it only by brothers and sisters, not by parents? By parents, even on a Shmur Rechaika, Kriya is required. It's Machlaikas Rishonim. The Shulchan Aruch says that by parents, a Shmur Rechaika also should do Kriya, and Al Gemara speaking about specifically a brother. However, by parents, where somebody has to keep Avelis for a whole year, the halacha is that Avelis is not removed. That means if somebody hears about the death of a parent, Rechman Litzlan, after a month, so although he doesn't sit a full Shiva, he does have to keep the halachas of Avelis until the end of the year. But on the other hand, if he only becomes aware of the Patir of a parent after the year, then he just does what Shmu Rechaika, what we learned in our Gemara, and he doesn't have to keep any more Hilchus Avelis. From here also is obvious that we're supposed to try to avoid telling a person about the death of a relative, might say Diba Huksil. However, the Paiskim do point out that there may be an inyan to let someone's sons know about the death of a parent so that they could say Kaddish. But even then, the Paiskim say if the person doesn't know by himself, he should be only told not on a Yontif. And some say if, let's say, Rahman Islam, this person is already saying Kaddish because his father, Rahman Islam, passed away, and his mother immediately passes away, so he's anyway saying Kaddish, there may be no inyan in telling him about the patir of his mother. And then there's another shayla, let's say a parent was Nifter, and they left over a number of sons. Is there an inyan to tell all the sons so that they could say Kaddish? Or if you just tell one son, and he's already saying Kaddish, there is no point in saying it to the other sons. The Mefarshim point out that Rav kept on using the language Abba Kayim, Ima Kayim, my father's a Kayim. What's Pshat? The difference between a person when he's in this world and when he leaves the world is that a person in this world is called a Hoylech. He goes. He constantly could grow higher and higher in Avodas Hashem. A person who leaves the world is a Kayim. He's an Oymid. He can no longer do mitzvahs and masim toivim. And that's why Rav kept on saying, Abba Kayim, Ima Kayim. They're a Kayim, they're standing, they're not able to go up from Madrega to Madrega. I saw a very nice verse. The Medrash says, that Ad Yaakov Avinu, until Yaakov Avinu, Lohava Chosha, there was no one ever sick. So the Mefarshim say, how do we know that? Because the Mefarshim say that the Pasuk says that the Shliach came to tell Yosef that Yaakov Avinu was sick. I asked the Mefarshim, based on the way we've been learning, that you're not supposed to say bad news, so how did they give Yosef the bad news? They should have said, your brothers are well. And if he would have heard his brothers are well, he would have understood that his father is not well. So they say, Ad Yaakov Avinu lo ha b'chosho. Until Yaakov Avinu, there was never anyone sick. So telling Yosef that your brothers are well wouldn't have made him think that maybe his father is not well, because nobody was ever sick before. That's why, even though normally we didn't say bad news, there was no choice but to tell Yosef explicitly the bad news. Hahu the Omer Don Dini. There was a person always would say, judge my case in court. Amr Shmami no Midan Kasi. It must be that he comes from Sheva Don. The Ksiv, Don Yodin Amr Kach Chifti Yisrael. Don would judge his people like one of the Shvatim of Yisrael. Hu Dava Ozel Kam. There was a person always would say, Akaf Yame Asine Birosa. On the shores of the sea, by the beach, I want to establish my palace. But the Mizvulun Kasi. So they saw that he came from Shevet Zvulun. The Gziv, as it says, Zvulun L'choif Yam Mishkan. Zvulun will be on the beach. And like the Mashal explains, these were the brachas that Yaakov Avinu gave the Shvatim. And the brachas that Yaakov Avinu gave the Shvatim became part of their personality, became part of their characteristic, to the degree that it would show who they are. Now the Mefarshim asks, why by the person who said, let's go to court, that they say immediately we know he's from Don? When the person who said, I would like to build a house by the beach, they said, let's check where he's from. Here, why are we more certain than the other? So the Ben Ish Chai gives two truths. One is that by the person with the Din Torah, he says, who the Omar, he said it all the time. By the person with the house on the shore, he said, who the Ava Ozel, it wasn't as steady. Another Torah the Ben Ish Chai gives is like this. People don't like to go to Din Torah. So if a person goes to, keeps on saying, I want to go to Din Torah, why does he have such a interest in going to Din Torah, a love for Din Torah? It must be because he's from Sheva Dan. On the other hand, a person wanting to have a nice home on the shore is not that unique, and therefore it wasn't that obvious that he's from Sheva Dan, Sheva Zvulun, until they have to actually check it out and determine it. The Svarim say that every month of the Jewish year is connected to one of the Shvatim, and that the month of Tishrei is connected to the Shevet Dan, because Shevet Dan, as we just said, is the Shevet of Dan Yodin Amoy. He loves Din Torah, and since he loves Din Torah, that's why Tishrei, which is the month where we have Rosh Hashanah, is the month of Din Torah. The Sam Sofer explains Al Pidrush what the Gemara says, that this person said as Kaf Yomi as Sisni Birasa, refers to a person who maybe is not learning Torah but wants to support Torah. He says a Kaf Yam as Sina Birasi, by the Yam Torah is compared to water. A Kafna Birasa, I build my house next to the sea, I build my palace where I could support and help Torah Yam. Maybe I can't actually learn myself, but at least I can help Torah. I build my house near the Loim Dei Torah so I can help them if I can't learn myself. Go back to Gemara. As we've learned, everybody agrees that Or, when it's said in our Mishnah, Or Laba Osor, the time for Bedikas Chametz is at night. Michti. So ask the Gemara. Let's understand. Bein l'Rabbi Yehuda, bein l'Rameya. Both according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rameya, Chametz ain't also elam shei shos l'mala. The only time from when the rice is also to eat chametz is from chatzos. Rashi makes a point that not only is it also to eat chametz from that time, even the issa bal yiroa bal yimotza begins from that time. So v'nivdik b'shes, it should be enough to be by the chametz at the beginning of the sixth hour. And like the Chasam Sofer points out, certainly the Gemara is not asking that we should be by the chametz right away by only by chatzos, because then is already this man when chametz is aser. The Gemara's question is, why are we being by the chametz so much earlier at night? Why can't we just be by the chametz by chatzos? V'chitema will answer, zrim zim nagdim l'mitzvus, because there's people are zealous to do mitzvahs. So nivdak mitzafra. So doing zrizas should be enough to do it from the morning. Diksiv, where do we see that zrizas does not require one to do it earlier than that? Diksiv, yoyim hashmini yimel b'sar alosai. It says that a bris should be done on the eighth day. V'tanya, and we learned in a braisa, kol ayoyim kulay kosh l'mila. The entire day a mila may be performed. El shizrizim magdim l'mitzvahs, people get up early to do the mitzvahs. Shinemar, as it says, v'yashkim Avram b'boiker, Avram got up early in the morning to do the akedah. So the Mefarshim ask, we're speaking about hilchas mila, and we bring a pasuk from the akedah. So they explain, mila could certainly not be done earlier, because the halach is that a mila is not allowed to be done at night. But we see from Avram Avinu that he was a Zoris. Where was he a Zoris? By the Akedah. But even though he was a Zoris, he only got up in the morning, not the night before. Ask Tosfos, maybe he didn't get up the night before because he couldn't travel at night. You're not supposed to travel at night. So Tosfos answers, first of all, he was going with Dvar Mitzvah. For Dvar Mitzvah, you're allowed to go at night. And another point Tosfos makes is that he wasn't traveling alone. And since he was allowed traveling alone, he was allowed to go at night. Here we see the concept of Zrizim Magdim and Lamitzvahs, the Mefarshim, the Machlokes Rishonim, the Meiri says that Zrizim Kedim Lamitzvahs is not a mitzvah, it's just a proper thing to do. And the point is, because we don't see it in the Torah explicitly, that the Torah tells us to be a Zaris for a mitzvah, we only see that Avraham Avinu acted that way. Others say that it is at least midrabbanon, and some say it's midaraisa. Since the Torah mentions that Avraham Avinu did it, that's what we have to do also, midaraisa. So the Gemara says that certainly by Mila there's an issue of Zrizim Magdim L'mitzvahs, and that's why the halach is that a bris should be done in the morning. The Pfaiskim explain why there's specifically an issue to do bris in the morning, because people should not say the person is delaying in doing the bris because he doesn't want to harm his child. So a Jew goes right away in the morning and does the bris to show he's doing the mitzvah with a chavivus and a zrizus, and that's his only consideration. There's an interesting Dvar Avram. The Dvar Avram says that although doing a bris b'yom hashmini, doing it in the morning, is because of zrizim magdim l'mitzvahs, however, doing a bris not in the Yom HaShemini, that means, let's say the bris could not have been done in Yom HaShemini, the child wasn't able to have a bris in Yom HaShemini, if you do it after the Yom HaShemini, then you must do it as early as possible. Why? Because since every moment this child has a chiv to have a bris mila, so delaying it is not just delaying a zrizis, delaying it is delaying a mitzvah that a person has a chiv. In fact, he says that let's say there are two bris milas that have to be made. One is for a child that today is his Yom HaShmini, the eighth day. And the other is for a child that's already past the Yom HaShmini. Says the Dvar Avram, you should do the bris of the child that's past Yom HaShmini first, because he has a chiyuv to have the bris every minute already. The other child, the bris apidin can be done during the day, so his bris should be done first. Rav Chaim Briska argues on that halacha. Rav Chaim Briska says that it's not the chiyuv by a child who didn't have the bris in Yom HaShemini to have a bris every moment. It's a chiyuv that he has to become gemalit, that he has to become circumcised. So now the question is, if there's an inyan to make a bris in the morning, Avram Avinu's bris, who we learn Zrizim Magdim L'mitzvahs from, was during the day. As the pasuk says, Be'etzim Yom Hazeh, Nimoil Avram, and the Rashi explains it was the middle of the day. But we're supposed to do a bris early in the morning. So Mefarshim explain, the Noida Behuda says that since the whole point of Avraham Avinu doing the bris in the middle of the day was to show that he's going to do the bris, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, nobody had ever done bris milah before, so there was to Mefarshim Shem Hashem, and therefore the bris was allowed to be done not in the morning, it should be done in the afternoon. And that's why some people aren't as careful as making the bris in the morning. They do it in the middle of the day because they feel they can have more people attend the bris, and it'll be Beroiv Am Hadras Melech. But there's a nice part from the Mefarshim as we go further in the Gemara on Zrizim Magdim L'mitzvahs. The Mefarshim point out, it says Zrizim Magdimim L'mitzvahs. Why doesn't it say Zrizim Magdimim B'mitzvahs? The Mefarshim says Zrizim Magdimim, you should be a Zaris before the mitzvah. Before the mitzvah, you should prepare for the mitzvah with a Zrizis, with a Geschmack, with a Bren. Of a B'mitzvah, when you do the mitzvah actually, you should be careful to do it not in a very rushed, haphazard mannered, but on the contrary, a person should be careful to do the mitzvah in a slow, deliberate manner. So now the question is, why do we do the Bedikas Chametz at night? We go back to our original question. If it were for Zrizim Magdim L'mitzvahs, it should only be done in the morning, yet our Mishnah says, do the Bedikas Chametz at night. Amrav Nachman Yitzchak, B'shosh B'nei Odom Mitzrim B'teim, we do it in a time when people are home, V'aranei Yofel B'dika, and the candlelight will be effective when it's dark. So Mefarshim explained that we wanted to make a time for B'dikas Chametz which is uniform. So we made it at night. But if that's the point, that we only want to make it as a uniform time, so we could have made a uniform time in the morning. Why do we make it at night? because we want you to use candlelight, and candlelight is more effective by night than by day. Amr Abaya, so Abaya says, Hilka chayt suvim rabbonon, this Talmud Chacham, lo liftech be'idnei, should not begin a shir, but or to the tlace the nagi abesa, on the evening between the 13th and the 14th day, dilma mashkle shmata, maybe he'll get into the learning, vaslam nu mitzvah, and he won't do the mitzvah properly. So now the Mefarshim ask, why are we so more careful and concerned by bedikas chametz versus any other mitzvah that should be done properly? So Mefarshim say two reasons. Number one, going back to something we learned when we learned the Mishnah, all abba also bite kinesa chametz. There's an inyan to do bedikas chametz right away, as the Raiva taught us, at the beginning of the night. So if another mitzvah, so if I won't do it at the beginning of the night, I could do it all night long. But here, since the mitzvah must be performed at the beginning of the night, so that's why we have to be careful that somebody should not be get involved with something else at that time. Also, because of the chumrah of chametz, the Bach explains, people eat chametz all year long. That's why we're more concerned about chametz than we are about other items. Now the shaila is halach lemaisa. What about learning by the zman b'dikas chametz? So Shulchan Aruch says that a person is not supposed to do anything when the zman b'dikas chametz comes, or for half an hour before. Regarding learning, there's a machloikas rishonim. First of all, what's learning mean? Does learning mean any of the learning that we've spoken about, any type of learning, or does it only mean learning be'iyun, where a person can forget himself and forget b'dikas chametz? L'halacha, we're certainly machmer that when this man b'dikas chametz comes, we should not learn, we should go do the mitzvah. As far as a half an hour before, if a person is learning in a shul with a chabura that's going to stop to daven ma'ariv, or remind each other, then the halacha is that he can continue learning till this man. However, the Rama says that even if a person began learning for more than a half an hour before the zman of b'dikas chametz, which by both mitzvahs the halacha is that if you began more than a half an hour before the zman of the mitzvah, you don't have to stop your learning. By b'dikas chametz, we do stop our learning for the reasons explained earlier when the zman comes. However, what will be the halacha if this man b'dikas chametz comes and there's a rav, and as he wants to do b'dikas chametz in the right time like everyone else, somebody shows up in his home to ask him to he wants to sell his chametz, or another shaila, b'dikas chametz has to be done at the right time by tzeitz kachavim, but for whatever reason a person is not home, he's on the way home from work, and does man of b'dikas chametz, is he allowed to learn? So the Shaar Metzion of Halacha says that if what you're doing at this man of b'dikas chametz is related to chametz, for example, the rabbi is selling the chametz, or the person going home from work will be on the subway and he's learning Hilchas Chametz and Matzah, then it will be mutter even though it's the zman b'dikas chametz. Because since he's doing something that shows that he's aware that now is the time to rid oneself of the chametz, therefore we don't have to necessarily be concerned that he will not put on the chametz, that he will not burn the chametz, that he will not be divided the chametz properly, and he could sell the chametz if he's the rabbi, or he could learn Hilchas Chametz Matzah if he's on the way home. Somebody rents an apartment on Erev Pesach. Ami livdoik. Who has the responsibility to do b'dikas chametz? Ala maska livdoik. Is it the landlord's responsibility? The chamir the day, because obviously any chametz here is the landlord's. Oidil ma'ala soich livdoik. Is it the tenant's responsibility? The sur b'shusei kai. It's in his property. So like the Rishonim explained, the Gemara's question is not based on the chiyuv being dependent on who owns the chametz. Because certainly the chametz belongs to the landlord. The tenant didn't have any time to bring in any chametz. The Gemara's question, according to the way Pnei Yeshua and Rabbi Chanan Wasserman explain in Rashi, is can this tenant say that I expect you, the landlord, to have done the bedikas chametz? Or can he? Or do we say no? The landlord could say, now the apartment is yours and it's your responsibility. Or another way, Tosfos explains, can the tenant say to the landlord, since the apartment was yours at the beginning of the 14th of Nisan, you have the chiv to be baidik, that chiv became your chiv, and now my taking over the apartment doesn't make a difference? Or, on the other hand, he can say, the landlord could say, but now the apartment is not mine. The apartment is yours, and therefore you should have the responsibility to buy the chametz. Toshma, hamas gabayis l'chaveira. Somebody rents an apartment. Ala soich alas mezuzah. It's the tenant's responsibility to make the mezuzah. So machloikus will learn a mesechta menachos. So that's midaraitza or midrabbanan. So we see it's the tenant's responsibility. Answers the Gemara, Hashem, you can't compare that situation to our situation. Hashem, ha'omer ha'mishashia, mezuzah chayvus hadohi. The mezuzah is the obligation of the person who lives there. Hachamai, but that, what's the Gabir halacha here? Because as Rashi explains, mezuzah is there for a shmira. It protects the people living in the house. So the person who lives there needs the protection, not the landlord who doesn't live there. And the Mefarshim asks, the Rambam says that a person is not supposed to say that a mezuzah is there for a shmirah. Right? A mezuzah is there because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to remember him when we come in and out of the house. Here we see clearly the mezuzah is a shmirah. So Mefarshim explaining the Rambam. What the Rambam means to say is not that mezuzah is not a shmirah. Mezuzah is certainly a shmirah. Just when a person puts up a mezuzah, his kavanah should not be that I'm putting it up for a shmirah. His kavanah should be that I'm putting it up because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me so. There's an interesting shaila. Let's say somebody has a friend, a relative, a neighbor who's not religious and doesn't have mezuzahs on his house. And he comes to his neighbor and he says, you know what, I want to put up mezuzahs for you. The neighbor says, okay, you want to put it up, I'm not going to stop you. Is he allowed to make a bracha when he puts up the mezuzah? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Ovach and the Klaus Meger Rebbe both paskin that he cannot make a bracha. Because the mezuzah is the responsibility of the person who lives there. If the person who lives there appointed me as a shliach, just like if he would appoint me to do bedikas chametz for him, I can make a bracha. But here, I wasn't appointed to put up the mezuzah. I volunteered to put up the mezuzah, and therefore, it's not my chiv, and therefore I can't make a bracha. So, we're back to our shaila. What is the halacha regarding someone who rents an apartment in Erev Pesach who has to do the bedika? Amalei Rav Nachman Yitzchok Tanina, we learned in the Braisa. Hamas Kabais Lechaveroi, im actually Moslem Mafteichos Chalar Ba'asar, if Erev Pesach came before the keys were given to the tenant, Ala Maske Livdoik, it's the landlord's responsibility. Vim Mish Moslem Mafteichos Chalar Ba'asar, but if the keys were given before Erev Ba'asar, Ala Soich Livdoik, it's the tenant's responsibility. So Rashi explains, giving the keys is a kinyan. So if the kinyan, so basically what the Gemara is saying is, it's the tenant's responsibility. But what the Gemara is saying is that if the keys were given before, so the kinyan was there before Arab Asr, so it's the tenant's responsibility. Otherwise it's the landlord's responsibility. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that giving keys is not a kinyan. And therefore Tosfos says it's a practical thing. If the keys were given before Arba Asr, so the landlord can't get into the apartment anymore in Arba Asr. That's why it's the tenant's responsibility. If the keys were given after Abasa, so he had access to the apartment, and that's why it's the landlord's responsibility. The Karban Nisanel explains that Rashi agrees that giving the keys is not a real kinyan. But what Rashi is trying to teach us, says the Karban Nisanel, is that it's enough of a transaction that this should be considered the place that I have rights, that I, the tenant, have rights, versus the landlord keeping his rights there. There's an interesting shaila I saw. What's going to be the halacha if somebody is in a hotel, not for all of Pesach, he's only going to be in a hotel for the night of the 14th? Does he have a chiyuv b'dikas chametz? So there's a very interesting gran here. The Ran says, when he brings down the Gemara, he adds the words, Hamaska bayis l'chaveroi l'tzorech yudalid u'mimenu ve'elech. That the room was not, the apartment, the room was not just rented for yudalid, it was rented for Erev Pesach and further. That's when the tenant has the responsibility to do bedikas chametz. But if the apartment was not rented past Erev Pesach, according to Ran, there is no chiyuv bedikas chametz. Specifically, the Paiskim explain that if it's in a hotel where the owner has keys to the room, so there really wasn't a mysterious maftechus as is understood in Al-Gemara. In Al-Gemara is the tenant has the keys, not the landlord. So certainly in such a situation where the person in the room is not going to remain there for all of Pesach, and the owner of the hotel has keys to the room, and certainly if the owner of the hotel is non-Jewish, so the chiyuv bedikas is much less serious, bedikas chametz does not have to be made. Bottom name, Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Hamaska bayis l'chaver ba'arba asar. If somebody rents an apartment on Erev Pesach in the morning, cheskasei badek or ein cheskasei badek, can we safely assume that there was bedikas chametz or not? So Rashi explains that we're speaking that this rental took place Erev Pesach in the morning. If it would be yodalid by night, we certainly don't assume that bedikas chametz has taken place. Ask the Gemara l'may nafkamina. What's the difference? L'shayli, let's ask the landlord. Says the Gemara, d'leisa l'hai d'l'shayli. We don't have him here to ask. L'truch l'hai mai. Do we have to go trouble the tenant to search the house himself, or can we assume that it's baduk? From here we see that whenever there's a question that could be answered, we shouldn't rely. We should go ask the question. Here we're talking where we can't find out the answer because the person who rented the apartment is not available to answer the question. Now the Mefarshim say, one, we say, Sofik Drabonon Lekula. B'dikas Chametz is Medrabonon. And why don't we say Sofik Drabonon Lekula? So one answer is, like we just said, that whenever we can get the answer ourselves, we don't say Sofik Drabonon Lekula. Another answer is, because since B'dikas Chametz, as we've been learning, is chametz is such a aveira chamura, we don't rely on that klal. Another pshat that I saw is, what is pshat sofek drabon al kula? The sofek drabon al kula is only relevant when there's a din in question. So if we don't know if we should be machmer or mekel, so we say if it's drabon or mekel. But here it's not a din that's in question, it's a metzias that's in question, a fact that's in question. There, we don't say sofek drabon al kula. Omlar of Nachman Yitzchak. From Nachman Yitzchak said, "Tenesua, we learned in a brayso. Hakol namana al biyachometz. Everybody is believed that the chometz was destroyed. Afil nashim, afil avodim, afil ktanim. Women, servants, ktanim who are normally not neman on halacha are neman regarding bedikas chometz. My tam mahamni. Why do we trust them? Lab mishum dechaskas abadik. Isn't the reason because we could safely assume that the house has been properly searched?" The kesava, because the halach will be hakel chaverim etz b'dikas chametz. A chaver is somebody who has the status that he's meticulous in following halacha. So by b'dikas chametz, we say that everybody has that status that he's meticulous that he did b'dikas chametz. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, chaver shemes. If a chaver passed away, v'niach merugur malei peres and left a warehouse full of fruit, afilahim v'yoyman, if they were just collected that day, we could assume that they, the proper trumas and maisos were removed, because a chaver does what's right. So here too, you know why we could trust the women, because we could assume that there's a chazaka that it was bodek, and that's why we could trust people who are normally not reliable. The Chasam Sofer again points out, why does the Gemara say chaver shemes, that the chaver died, and then I could assume that everything was done? We could have said we don't have to kill him. We could say that he's not here. Again, says the Chasam Sofer, based on what we said earlier, that whenever we can ask him, even though he's a chaver, we have the responsibility to ask him. But when we can't ask him, unfortunately, shemes, he died, there the chazaka could tell us that he did what he had to do. Says the Gemara, umamai, on the opposite, how do we have a raya that there's a chazaka that's bothered? It's just the opposite. Dilmishani hachi mishum the kamrahani. You know why we could assume that the house was cleaned and searched? Because they're saying it. But had they not said it, then we couldn't trust them. So if anything, we have a proof that we don't say chazkasa bodik. Because if we would say chazkasa bodik, then we would have to ask them. We would have to ask them. We could just rely. The fact that we need to ask them and get them to tell that it's clean is a proof that we're out there saying it. We cannot assume that it's clean. Says the Gemara. Otamir the honey meet the spa. If you're saying now that we don't have a chazaka that it's bodik, what do we need? We need them to say it. Is their saying meaningful? And halacha, they don't have any ability to give testimony. Elamai. So what are you going to say? The chazkasa bodek. We have to assume that it was properly searched. So it says the Gemara, then the terminology of the brights is difficult. Hai kolam anamonim. The brights shouldn't say that everybody is reliable. The brights should have said the point. The kol habatim b'chazkasa bedukim b'abosim b'alilei. The Brisa should have said that we could assume that all houses were properly searched. So goes the Gemara the other direction. Elamai, Mishma Mir Dahani. It's only because they said, Haloy Amrihani, had they not said anything, Loy. We cannot assume that the house was searched. Tiv Shemina, so now we have a proof, that we cannot assume that the house was properly searched. Because if we were able to assume that the house was properly searched, why do we need them to say anything? Says the Gemara, Loy. Loy lam em loch chaskos abodik. I really tell you that the house could be assumed that it was searched. V'hochemai skinon, the muchsuk lon de loy bodik. We know that the owner of the house did not search the house. Have kama hani betkini. These people say that we checked the house. Ma'adatayim loy lam nu rabonon. So I would say that we're now relying on people who we normally don't rely on. Kamash Malon, that's why the Gemara teaches us, Kivin the B'dikas Chomets to Rabbanon, who, since the entire need to do B'dikas Chomets to Rabbanon, the B'daraisa B'bitl B'almas Sagile, B'daraisa would be enough just to do Bitl, Hemnu Rabbanon, Rabbanon, Rabbanon trusted them with saying what they say. So Tysus asks, we always trust our wives. Don't we trust our wives on our kitchens? So why over here don't we trust? Why over here do we need a special reason of Hemnu Rabbanon B'Rabbanon? So Tysus explains that since B'dikas Chametz is a very complicated work, cleaning, searching the whole house, we have to be concerned that maybe they didn't do it properly. Although the Aruch HaShulchan makes an interesting comment. He says nowadays, he says it already, the wives are more careful, the women are more careful in B'dikas Chametz than the men. Now there's Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos in explaining the Bittul Ba'alma Sagilo. The Gemara says that midaraisa, all you need to do is Bittul. So Rashi explains, because the Torah says Tashbisu Sorm Bateichem, dispose of the Chametz, dispose anyway, Bittul is enough. And therefore I do the Bittul, and now the entire need to do B'dik is Midrabbanan, and Himnu Midrabbanan Midrabbanan. The Rosh asks, how do we know that he did the bittul? That was done. So Rashi says, even if we don't know if the bittul was done, bittul is the easiest thing to do. You'll do it right now. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Because Tosfos says the word tashbisu, which says that you should dispose of the chametz, doesn't mean just to make bittul. Tashbisu means to actively dispose it, to burn it, to destroy it. So what does the Gemara mean by bittul ba'alma sagilho? He could have made it hefker. Ask the Rishonim and Tosfos. Hefker has halachas. that you have to say Hefker in front of three people. Person that says Kol Chamira is doing it in the privacy of his home. That's not Hefker. So Mefarshim explain the Midaraisa really Hefker to be done in front of one person. Chazal required that you should do Hefker in front of three people. Here Chazal did not make that requirement. And I saw two reasons why. One reason is, why did Chazal say that Hefker should always be done in front of three people? Because like that you show that you really mean it. If you're Mafker in front of three people. Chametz, a person certainly wants to be Mafker. He doesn't want to have the Aveir of Chametz. So therefore, even though he's only Mafkered in front of one person, it's inadequate. Another pshat is, the Midaraisa, it would really be, the Chametz is not really yours. The Torah said that the Chametz is also Bahanot, it's not yours. It's only yours to be Oiver Aveir. So since it's not really completely yours, here, Hefker in front of one person is enough. So as we've explained, we have here a very fundamental Machloikus Rashi and Tosfos, what happens by the Bittel. Is it just saying a Bittel, that I'm nullifying it, as Rashi says, or is it a Hefker? And that's why our Minig, when we say Bittel Chametz, we say Kol Chamir v'chamir dikar b'shasei levatel u'lehev a Hefker. In order to satisfy both Rashi and Tosfos Pshat, we say both things, Hefker and Bittel. And there are advantages to both, because Hefker will not work for Chametz that I don't own. Let's say I have in my home the Chametz of someone else. Hefker would not work. Bittel would work. On the other hand, Bittel means I don't want it to be mine, I don't want it to be in my Rishus. On the other hand, there are times that Bittel works where Hefker doesn't, there are times that Hefker works that Bittel doesn't work. It's after the 6th hour on Erev Pesach, Bittel it's too late, but Hefker could still work. And that's why to take advantage of both things, that's why we say, Levoto Ula Hava Hefker Ka'afr Da'ara. And the Mishnah Berurah of course says that women, as the Gemara says, are 100% Nemon to say that they did B'dikas Chametz. Iboilu. Somebody rents a house to his friend with the assumption that the house was nivdak, and then it turns out the word b'dikas chametz was not done. Mahu? Could we say there was a mistaken transaction, and the halach is that a mistaken transaction becomes void or not? So Tosfos explains that our Gemara's discussion is not on your dalet. Because as we learned earlier today, if the house was only rented on Erev Pesach, there it's certainly the landlord's responsibility to do B'dikas Chametz. And if he didn't do the B'dikas Chametz, it's a Mekach Tos. The question here is that the apartment was rented before your Dalet B'Nisan, where normally it's the tenant's responsibility now to do the B'dikas Chametz in your Dalet, but this tenant landlord made up a condition that I want to receive the apartment clean. I want to receive the apartment that already had B'dikas Chametz done to it. And now it turned out that B'dikas Chametz was not. Is it a Mekach Tos or not? And the Ritva makes a point. What's the Gemara's question? Let's say the tenant finds that the apartment was not searched. So let him go to the landlord, and I'll search it now, and there won't be any problem. So the Ritva says, if it's a Mekach Tos, if this was done, if this transaction is void, because it was done based on a mistake, or it wasn't followed through as it was supposed to be, you can't correct it anymore, because the entire transaction is void. Toshma, Dama Baya, Lama Baya Ba'asra, the Loya of Agrabotka. Certainly in a place where people do not pay for B'dikas Chametz to be done. Rather, everybody used to do B'dikas Chametz in their own apartments. The agreement is valid. The tenant now has the opportunity to do the mitzvah, the great mitzvah of B'dikas Chametz. But even a place where they pay for someone to search, so now the tenant is going to have to pay these people who do the B'dikas Chametz, which he normally or shouldn't have had to pay because he made a deal that the landlord should be taking care of it. A person wants to do mitzvahs with his money, and therefore even if it's going to cost him money to pay for the b'tikas chametz, it won't bother him. However, the Rishonim point out that the landlord will still have to pay back the tenant for the money he lays out to have the house searched. Because even though he's happy that the mitzvah is performed with his money, this is up to where he won't have a financial loss. But he doesn't want to have a financial loss. Although the Pais can point out that the halacha and the mezuzah is different. Let's say I rented an apartment on the assumption that the landlord is leaving me mezuzahs. And then I come to the apartment and there are no mezuzahs. So certainly I have to go buy a mezuzah, and the landlord doesn't have to pay me back for what I laid out. So they explain the difference is very simple. Buy the mezuzah, when I leave the apartment, I'll be able to take the mezuzah along with me. So therefore, I can't demand that the landlord compensate me for the money I laid out for the mezuzahs, even though he should have paid for him. That was my deal. But by here, I won't take along the b'tikas chametz with me when I leave the apartment. That's why I have a right to demand from the landlord, if a deal was made, that he should compensate me for the money I laid out for the b'tikas chametz.